From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The battle over immigration is heating up again in the new year. The new Republican Congress is determined to push back on President Obama's November executive action that would give legal status to up to 5 million undocumented immigrants. President Obama is determined to move forward. Immigrants hungry to work, live, thrive in America say yes, critics say not this way. We'll hear from both. This hour on Point Inside the Immigration Battle now. You can join us on air or online. The president said do something. Is he doing the right thing? Join us at any time at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here was the president in November addressing the loud complaints that he was overstepping bounds by the executive action that he was taking then and now on immigration.
I know some of the critics of this action call it amnesty. Well, it's not. Amnesty is the immigration system we have today. And to those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer. Pass a bill.
Well, they may, but it may simply be a bill to stop the executive order that the president rolled out in November. In a moment, we're going to dig in with some very different perspectives, voices on immigration, Dreamers, Tea Party. But first, from Washington, Fawn Johnson joins me. She covers immigration for National Journal. Fawn, welcome. Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome.
So the shorthand here for the executive order is that it would defer deportations and grant work permits for up to 5 million undocumented immigrants. That would leave a lot who wouldn't qualify. Who does this cover? Why did the president take this step?
Yeah, you're right, Tom. It doesn't cover it doesn't even cover about half of the undocumented immigrants that are currently in the country. The estimates have been pretty solid over the last several years that there's about 11 million unauthorized immigrants here in the United States. But the president's action would cover a significant portion of them. It is specifically referring to parents of either legal permanent residents, those are people who have green cards, or parents of U.S. citizen children. So this often happens if somebody has crossed over the border illegally and then has a child in the United States. You have a child on U.S. soil, mm-hmm. You are a U.S. citizen. So it would apply to those. And then the president's most recent action also expands an earlier deferred deportation program that he announced in 2012 for young people who came across the border illegally before the age of 16.
The so-called Dreamers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This has been in place for a couple of years now, this so-called DACA program. It's deferred mm-hmm. action for childhood arrivals. Mm-hmm. And it was originally capped if you were over the age of 30, even if you arrived in the United States before the age of 16 and had lived here continuously and met all the other criteria, you were not allowed to take advantage of that program. And so with the president's most recent action, he lifted that top age bracket. So, you could be as old as you need to be in order to qualify. And according to the statistics from the Migration Policy Institute, that added another 300,000 or so eligible young people who could qualify for that program. So in essence, what we have is two different programs run by the Department of Homeland Security, one for parents mm-hmm. and one for childhood arrivals, people who arrived in the country without papers before the age of 16.
In some respects, Republicans ended up holding their fire in December before they had in place their majority in both houses of Congress. But now it's there, and there was left a kind of time bomb ticking here
yeah.
around financing for the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees immigration issues. What is that, Fawn?
That is absolutely right. The Republicans did, in fact, hold their fire in terms of what could have been a government shutdown at the end of last year after the elections in the lame duck session, and agreed to allow funding for the entire government through this current fiscal year. But they held the Department of Homeland Security hostage, as it were, such that they only extended its current funding until the end of February. So as of February 27th, funding for the Department of Homeland Security is cut off unless the Congress acts. So they need to come up with what to do sometime in the next couple of of weeks. However, having been in Congress for the last couple of days as they've been reconvening, there are a number of them who say that they are they have no intention of shutting down the Department of Homeland Security as of February 27th when the funding runs out. So in some ways, they are still holding their fire.
So what is intended? I see legislation here from Representative Adderholt that would, political reports, effectively undo Obama's decision to defer those. What's on the table? What might be coming?
Well, a loud screaming match on both the floor of the Senate and the House is certainly something we can expect, and that in some ways is about all the Republicans can do. If they are not willing to hold the funding for the Department of Homeland Security hostage, it's very difficult for them to undo what the president has done. And in fact, it's difficult to undo it anyway because the only thing that they have the power of actually doing is withholding funding for the Department of Homeland Security for this particular program. But as it turns out, both of these programs are funded by fees. So each person who applies for a deferred deportation has to pay $465 per application, and that covers most of the cost of it. So basically what they can do is they can complain a lot, but they can't actually unless they're willing to shut down the government, they can't actually do much of anything. Although there are, you know, they can certainly introduce resolutions of disapproval. They can introduce bills that say the president can't do this. But that's not really likely to do much in the end.
So that sounds like sound and fury signifying nothing ultimately here, that the executive
order will
roll forward in spite of all the apocalyptic language around it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think it was pretty clear even before the new Congress took over in December during the lame duck that was the situation that was going to play out. Keep in mind that we have a new majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, who has wanted this job for a very long time, and he wants to prove that the Senate can actually work. And the last thing that they need is a big fight over a government shutdown, particularly in light of the recent terrorist attack that happened in Paris yesterday. People are saying we really need to keep the funding for the Department of Homeland Security going. We can't take funding away from border security, for that matter. So I think the Republicans are legitimately upset about the action that the president took. But in fact, really, the only way to undo what he has done is to do exactly what the president asked, which is to pass a different bill that might, you know, it might cause some people to become legal citizens at some point, or it might not.
Now, there are also legal moves afoot here. A bunch of states, more than a dozen, almost 20, I think, who have gotten together. What's the challenge there, and could there be a legal response to the executive order, a court refusal?
Yeah, there could be. And the governors have last I checked, it was 18 had signed on to a lawsuit claiming that the president overextended his constitutional authority. And these are mainly conservative. It's led by Greg Abbott, the new governor of Texas. Other states include Alabama, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, sort of conservative states that are also not necessarily border states, but definitely affected by the influx of undocumented immigrants. And so how that plays out is I think that's actually in some ways that there is more punch for the people who oppose the president's action than in Congress. Although the Justice Department is pretty confident that the president was within his executive authority in granting this. Now, keep in mind, it is way more people are getting some relief from deportation than has ever happened in the history of the country. But there's also way more people here without papers than has been in the history of the country. So it's unprecedented on both fronts, and it would make for an interesting court battle. I think in some ways substantively more interesting than what we're going to see on the House and Senate floor in the next couple of weeks.
Republicans have been talking tough. This was Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah. This is back in the old year, telling Fox News that the results of the midterm elections were a big signal from the people that they don't support President Obama's executive action on immigration.
I would hope, and frankly, I would expect to see that this would be not a Republican issue versus a Democrat issue, but just an American issue. Look, we just had a big election the other day. Americans showed up across the country, and they spoke their voices. They wanted to make clear that their voices were heard. And they did not vote to support the president's agenda. They did not vote to support the president's lawless approach to the Constitution. They deserve to have their wishes respected. And I'm going to do everything I can to fight to make sure that happens.
In the meantime, Fawn, states are taking steps. I mean, I'm looking at California just this week for the first time. They're issuing driver's licenses to those who are not fully documented, and a huge rush of people getting in there to get that license to function in this country.
Sure. And in that's also happening in Utah and in Florida. Florida is not particularly considered a wellspring of Democratic goodwill. Just last year, with Republicans in the state legislature granted in-state tuition to undocumented Dreamers. So yeah, I mean, there are a number of states that are trying to essentially make it easier to deal with the undocumented population that they have in their midst. There's not much they can do. I mean, pretty much they can do exactly what California has done. They can give in-state tuition to undocumented kids or teenagers or young people who have been in the country for years and are effectively Americans in everything but their status, and allow them to continue to go to college with in-state tuition. They can give them driver's license, but they can't give them that thing that really matters, which is an authorization that will allow them to eventually apply to become a U.S. citizen.
But if they've got a work permit and if they are not under the threat of deportation, and we're talking many millions here, maybe 5 million, I mean, it's only half, but it's half. Is this executive order, in fact, turning out to be the big act here? The instead of reform, we're going to have this, and this is what it'll be.
It may well be, and I think that was the big consideration in the White House over the last year before they announced this program, and the realization as they watched the debate in Congress come to a grinding halt and realized that the chances of having any kind of legislation come out of the Congress was virtually nil. They there are forces inside the White House that really want to see a massive program that it's, I wouldn't call it legalization, but certainly a pardon, as it were. So yeah, this could be it, the big immigration push of this decade.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new field of battle over immigration, a Republican Congress versus the president's executive order stopping deportation of up to 5 million undocumented immigrants. We're going to be talking with young immigrants looking for reform and the Tea Party conservatives saying, no, not this way anyway. It is tough out there. This is the sound of Dreamers visiting with their mothers on the U.S.-Mexico border. This was June 2013. Mothers in Nogales, Mexico. Dreamers in Nogales, Arizona. A large fence separating them. Video produced by United We Dream. What do we do about it? Not what the president's done, has said Republican Senator Ted Cruz. In December, he asked colleagues in the Senate to strip out funding for President Obama's executive action on immigration from the budget. Congress left the funding, so far, for that executive action in.
1 month ago, President Obama announced unprecedented executive amnesty in direct conflict with the immigration laws passed by Congress. Tonight is the first opportunity that Congress has to express its disapproval.
Well, they didn't act on that front. The president said, you act or I will. And he said he's going to bring a kind of scalpel through this. Be careful about it. Humane, careful, focused in the right place. Here's the president.
We're going to keep focusing enforcement resources on actual threats to our security. Felons, not families. Criminals, not children. Gang members, not a mom who's working hard to provide for her kids. We'll prioritize, just like law enforcement does every day.
So here we are, the executive order rolling forward. Republicans making a lot of angry noise about it, and many of those who voted for them right behind them in that. But what will change? Fawn Johnson is with us, covers immigration for the National Journal out of Washington. We've got three other guests here that I want to introduce right now. With us from Austin, Texas, is Graysa Martinez. She arrived in the U.S. from Mexico when she was 6 months old. She's now 26 years old. She's in the U.S. legally under President Obama's 2012 executive action. She's a field organizer for United We Dream. It's the biggest immigrant youth-led organization in the country, a graduate of Texas A&M. Graysa, welcome to On Point. Thanks for joining us from Austin.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
With us from Spokane, Washington, is Moses Shege. His family came to the U.S. from Kenya when he was 3 years old. He's now a 19-year-old freshman at Whitworth University in Spokane, also in the U.S. under President Obama's 2012 action. As part of the Washington State Dreamers Coalition, he helped push through the state's Real Hope Act, passed last February, allowing undocumented immigrants to apply for state need grants to help pay for college. Moses Shege, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Hello, Tom.
Hello. It's good to have you. And with us from Phoenix, Arizona,
is Katrina Pearson, a spokesperson for the Tea Party Leadership Fund, which supports conservative political candidates. She challenged Congressman Pete Sessions in the Republican primary for Texas' 32nd Congressional District, was defeated in March, but still very active on this front. Katrina Pearson, welcome back to On Point. Good to have you again.
Hi, Tom. Always great to be with you.
Let's dive right in first with our dreamers. Graysa, do you see a real threat to the president's executive order? Do you welcome the further measures he's taken that will allow lots of parents to suddenly themselves be not under the threat of deportation?
Yes, I'm part, like you said, I'm part of United We Dream. We were part of having President Obama and putting the pressure on him to grant administrative relief to people like my mom. Her name is Elia Rosas. And as of November 20th, I think that she can breathe a little bit easier. She would qualify under the president's new measure on deferred action for parents. And, you know, it means a lot more than just a reprieve from deportation, although, you know, it's life-changing. But it also means that she has peace of mind, that she can be able to dream about putting on my sister's veil on her wedding day. And we know that that's because of the inaction of Republicans in Congress, that we didn't get a bill. And then we had to ask and pressure President Obama to grant relief for our parents. And so we welcome the relief, but we know that it's not enough, that 6 million other folks were not able to qualify, and that, you know, 74% of Americans welcome immigration reform and a more permanent solution voted on through Congress, and we're committed until we get that.
Moses Shige, you're following very closely here as well. Republicans were very unhappy about this executive order, lots of claims of tyranny and extra constitutionality. Do you think that this executive order will stick? Do you expect it to go through as planned and take effect as planned?
We do. We do. We worked hard to pressure the president into taking this important executive action. As limited as it is, it's very important. We will continue to fight to make sure that we keep and we build on, you know, one of the greatest immigrant rights victories of the decade, really. And as far as Republicans' tactics on trying to defund and attack the president and say it's tyrannous, we understand these attacks to not just be on the president, but be to us directly, on us as Dreamers, as undocumented Americans, and as attacks to our families. Because essentially what they're saying is that they would want all of us to be deported, a whole group of 11 million contributing, tax-paying Americans to be deported, which not only isn't practical, but is a bit immoral to think about when you think of all the families that have been separated due to the deportation machine. So we'll continue to fight and make sure that we build, we not only keep and solidify this victory, but we build upon it for the rest of the undocumented community.
Katrina Pearson in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm sure you, myself, when you hear the voices of these young people, it's hard to do anything but wish them well. But you and many others on the right have been very unhappy with the way the president has rolled forward with these executive orders. You hear the relief in their voices for themselves, for their families, Grace's mother. Would you still roll this back? And if you would, Katrina, where would you take American immigration policy?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, somebody has to speak for the American citizen and for American children. And that is simply what's taking place today. This president has said for 6 years that he did not have the authority. This is not Republicans saying he doesn't have the authority. He himself has said this. He did this as a last-ditch effort to try to boost support in the midterm elections, where clearly the American public does not support this type of immigration reform simply because there is no border security measure. You cannot continue to implement the same immigration policies that have failed over and over again in the past and expect something good to come from it, particularly one at this level. We're not talking about hundreds of thousands. We're not talking about 1 million, 2 million. We're talking about 5 million plus at this point, where we have an economy where unemployment is already high, and you have an absurdly high amount of unemployment for Black American children due to illegal immigration. And so, yes, somebody has to speak up for the American citizen and American children. And these are the people that are being lost in this process, even when it comes to going to college, particularly with in-state tuition. You have American children who are out of state who have to pay out-of-state tuition to go to a state-funded college, whereas illegal children, granted not by their own will, can go to a state college for in-state tuition. It is not the responsibility of the United States government or their taxpayers to right the wrongs of adults who knowingly and willingly broke the law.
So, Katrina, what's your answer here? Moses Shege in Spokane says what the president's done is good, but not enough. It should extend to all 11 million, roughly, undocumented immigrants in this country. Are you saying the opposite? Are you saying everybody out?
No, what I'm saying is we need to fix the system. The system is not broken. It is simply ignored. We are not implying current laws on the books. That is the biggest part of the problem. That's why people are flooding here. I'm originally from Texas. We have dealt with this for the last 2 years with this particular bill on the table, this action on the table. Hundreds of thousands of children funded by money coming out of the Catholic churches paying coyotes to bring their children into this country to be turned loose, whereas 96% of these people have not shown up for their court dates, which shows you the intentions aren't to come here and to do right because they're not interested in coming here and doing it right to begin with. First of all, we have to secure the border. We have to stop the massive influx of illegals coming over the Texas border, the southern border, the northern border, mainly because it is a national security threat. And that is not being talked about with this discussion because you cannot determine who is a felon. You cannot determine who is a gang member. You cannot determine who's been here 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years. This executive action is not enforceable. There is nothing in there that can actually prove that the illegals who are here have been here under those circumstances. Most of them don't even have their papers. So it's ridiculous to go forward this way. The debate needs to happen in Congress. It needs to be addressed in Congress. Reform needs to be happened. But first, we have to enforce current laws on the books and get the border secure and then deal with those who are here illegally.
The border, I'm reading reports here in from Reuters and others, Katrina, saying that illegal immigration at the border is at a 40-year low. That sounds like a relatively good situation, I would think, from your perspective.
Low or high, it depends on the time of the year you're looking at. But what we do know, for the last 2 years, over 100,000 illegal children flooded the border, particularly coming in through Texas, Laredo, and other sectors, whereas that should not be happening. So whether or not we have a problem at the border is debated depending on who you ask. As a Texan, as somebody who's worked in the Texas legislature for the last three sessions, we have a problem and it's not being addressed by the federal government. What is going to happen now, or states are going to deal with this in their legislative sessions by eliminating a lot of the magnets that are drawing illegals to our states, simply because the federal government's not going to do anything. This president has proven he's not interested in enforcing current laws on the books. He's only interested in making political points and creating new Democrat voters. That is not the appropriate way to govern, considering the state of our nation today.
Grayson Martinez in Austin, Texas. Katrina looks at a situation like yours and other young undocumented immigrants and says, okay, but wait a minute. Let's think first about American children, American citizen children. What do you say to that, Grayson?
I think when Dreamers and activists across the country were asking President Obama to give relief, they were thinking exactly the same. We were thinking about people like my sisters. I have three younger sisters, American citizens, that will benefit by having peace of mind of being able to know that their mother will be there at the end of the day. I think that also, you know, I think it's disingenuous to say that the majority of the American public do not support families like mine, when we know that a Wall Street Journal poll said that 6 out of 10 Americans support a pathway to citizenship for people like myself and for my mother. And so I think that there are ways that the American public has been able to show their support for people like me, for people like the children that fled war and violence from those countries that Ms. Katrina is talking about, and that, you know, Texans were able to receive them with open arms and say, you know, this is a safe place for you to come and we will figure it out together. And I agree, the laws are broken. There's no way for me to adjust. There's no line for people like my mother to get on. But I think that we have seen young people flood the streets, flood Congress, flood the Texas Capitol, and time again stand up against people that don't believe in the family values that we have, that don't believe that family should stick together, that it's okay to have people be able to be safe in their homes, that people that are taxpayers, just like my mother, that can trace back her steps when in the United States by looking back at the deeds of our home, by looking back at our church records, essay that I attended and that she taught Sunday school. And so I think that this is a moment for all of us as Americans to be able to say, let's look at this problem in the moral and in the strategic way so that we can be able to not only continue to profit and be able to live off of the labor that people like my mother and millions of others are able to provide to this country, but also be able to live with ourselves at night and be able to sleep with peace.
Moses Chege in Spokane, Washington, what do you say to Katrina's priorities here? Number one, secure the border. Number two, enforce existing law.
I believe Katrina, well, to begin with, there's a lot of inflammatory rhetoric going on, but a lot of perpetuating false notions and myths about immigrants. So from what I'm hearing, she talked about prioritizing Americans, prioritizing taxpayers, and undocumented Americans are Americans. I think she's forgetting that in the executive order, these are folks who've been here 5 years, or folks like my parents who've been here 10 years, people who pay taxes on a yearly basis.
I think she would still make a distinction there and say that there is a series of steps that are supposed to be taken legally to become a citizen. Being born here, yes, that works. But for your parents who weren't born here, no, you either go through the dance, you go through the steps, or you're not.
Well, that's the issue, Tom. There is no dance. There is no process. And that's why our immigration system is broken right now. So, for example, my parents who came here with myself and my sister, they arrived here on my father's student visa. They went through the process. They tried to apply. And they actually, my mom was able to win a green card. But afterwards, our visas were expiring before the green card could go into effect, which made the green card null and void, which caused and the visas expired. So then you go into a place of legal limbo where you're undocumented. You've tried going through the process, but you can't. And at that point, what are my parents, you know, to do? And they decided to stay in this country. They've been working since. They're caregivers. They pay taxes every year. They're tax-paying Americans. People have to understand that. The other thing is Katrina's talking about this debate needs to happen in Congress and not the executive branch. But her party, the Republican Party, has been a majority in the House since 2010. They're going on 5 years now where the only thing that they've done is vote on bills to take away protections for people like myself, like Grissa, like so many other Dreamers and young people in this country. And nothing, they've done nothing to deal with the issue of 11 million undocumented Americans in this country.
Moses, so stand by. I want to take it to Katrina. Right. Katrina, just a minute before the break here. But what do you say to Moses' more flexible definition of who an American is? It's not without substance, but it's more flexible, it seems to me, than yours.
Well, there's a couple of things that are flawed with his argument. First being there is a pathway to citizenship. Second, there is a pathway for his parents. There's a gentleman that came from Honduras who married an American, has four children who are American citizens here. He saw this on the table coming. He went back to his home country, to Honduras, left his wife and children for 4 years and came back and is now an American citizen. He did it the right way. There's a woman, Patricia Moore, who has a multinational corporation who came here, waited 15 years for her citizenship, and today she can't bring her sister. So it's frustrating for people who do it the right way but can't get their family here to see those who didn't do it the right way and are having their families become citizens behind an executive action that is fatally flawed.
So go home?
No, they have to go through the system. We have to go through at least a two-year process to get people documented if they want to stay in this country. And we have to remember there are people that came from Ireland and other cross continents who came here with nothing to do it the right way. So there are ways that things can be done, but nobody wants to talk about them. They just want to tell sad stories.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new field of battle over immigration as Republican Congress sits down on both sides of Capitol Hill now. With his position against the president's executive order stopping deportation of up to 5 million undocumented immigrants. You can join the conversation this hour. What do you say to our young dreamers and their aspirations, their families? What do you say to our Tea Party stalwart, to Americans who say, no, not this way? Katrina Pearson represents that view. She's with us from Phoenix, Arizona. Dreamers, Moses Shege is with us from Spokane, Washington, 19 years old. Grace Martinez from Austin, Texas, 26, 6 months old when she came to this country. She's now here legally under earlier executive action by the president. That is rolling out now. It will, as it rolls forward, protect up to maybe 5 million undocumented immigrants. Fawn Johnson is with us as well. She's covered all of this for National Journal, and we will get her perspective in this segment. But so many callers here. Let's go to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Omar is calling. Hi, Omar, you're on the air. Hello, Omar, are you there, my friend? Well, let's get another here. Kane in Charlestown, Massachusetts. Kane, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Well.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a quick comment. So, actually, a story, I guess. My sister, who I use an example of in the immigration debate all the time, is college-educated. She went to UMass Amherst. She speaks Spanish fluently, and she went to Spain for last year and stayed for a year after she graduated college.
Okay.
Tried to get a job there for about 2 years and, you know, going to government people, going to everybody she could, assimilated, loved the culture. And for 2 years, she couldn't get anything other than an under-the-table bartending job or anything like that. So mm-hmm. I guess my point is that, like, even with the limits on immigration in this country, we still take in more people than any other country in the world. If I decide that Spain has a better situation than the United States and all of a sudden I up and move to Spain just because I show up, that doesn't mean they're going to make me a citizen of their country. So I take issue with that. That people say that they are Americans when they're not. They didn't go through the process. They skipped the line. They, you know, cheated other people out of the right that they you know, worked for. So I take issue with
Kane, we've got it. Grayson Martinez in Austin, let me put it to you. Just because you show up doesn't mean you've got a right to be here. Kane tells the story of his sister in Spain. Couldn't do it there. Why should undocumented immigrants have a right to work and reside here?
Because we are part of the fabric of this culture. Because I am an American by every definition except for the 9 digits in paper. And that's not because of my parents' fault or anyone's fault. It's because we haven't had time to think about the process and fix the broken system. I agree. I don't think that your sister deserved to have under-the-table jobs just as much as my mother doesn't deserve to have that also. And so I'm looking forward to and will continue to work so that this country will have a system that is reflective of our values, that works, and that is, you know, it's something that people can subscribe to.
Moses, how far do you take that? I mean, should we have immigration law at all? Should we have border patrols at all, or just come one, come all?
Well, certainly, you have to have immigration laws. But the thing about our immigration system in this country is that it's broken. It doesn't work for the people who are trying to go through it legally like my parents, and it doesn't work for others. And so when you say, folks skipped a line or didn't go through the process correctly, there currently isn't a line. There's no way once you become undocumented, you're in legal limbo.
McCain is saying, wait a minute, there is a system. It's not broken. It's just unwelcome. In the case of, let's say, your family, because it didn't work for them, but there's a system there.
Well, what I would ask is, what do you suggest after what happened when, like, the green card's null and void and your visa has expired? Like, in those cases, you tried to go through the system and it hasn't worked. And also, there's no way for you to then come out and say, like, hey, there's a problem that happened, you know, with the system. How can you get right? There's no way to get right with the system. And now you have folks who've been here, you know, 5 years, a decade, 2 decades. So what do you say to these people who've been tax-paying Americans for 20 years but still can't get a pathway to citizenship?
Katrina, what do you say to those people, Katrina? Do you say, like your friend from Honduras, go back to your home country for years and wait to work it out?
Well, what I'm saying is that there is a process in place. People just don't want to take the accountability and responsibility to go through that. But this is the only country where if you overstay your visa, they don't automatically deport you. Any other country, even in France, are knocking on your door 3 days after the expiration date, booting you out of the country. And what I'd like to know really is, why are illegal aliens more important than every other person in this country. They want to step in front of legal residents. They want to step in front of people who have done it the right way, who are trying to do it the right way. There are millions who've done it the right way. So why is it that our president wants to enact law giving preference to people who are here illegally? And that's who's not being represented in this debate, are the millions of people who did do it the right way, who are going to get hurt behind this. Particularly in Texas, since this was mentioned earlier with the quote-unquote rhetoric, we had a lieutenant governor, which happens to hold the most power in the state, who went on Univision and who used that quote-unquote rhetoric with illegals and won the Hispanic vote. And it's simply because people in the country understand the reason why wages are so low are because of illegal aliens. The reason why we're having so much trouble with these social service systems bloating in the states are because of undocumented people. So at what point are we going to address the needs and the rights of citizens and legal residents in this country when it comes to putting preference over illegals?
Fawn Johnson, where do you see this going on Capitol Hill? Is that line, that perspective, does it have teeth on Capitol Hill with the new Republican majority in both houses? Is there some way in which that's going to be represented in law, in policy?
Well, it'll be represented in the policymaking and lawmaking process, but what actually comes out is a little difficult to see. And in part, it's because the perspective that Katrina offers is very, very sound in the Republican Party among specifically in the House. There's many Republicans who they're all angry about what the president did, but then there's a smaller group of the more conservative Tea Party type Republicans who are perfectly willing and happy to shut down the government over something like this. Now, that doesn't reflect the entire opinion of the Republican caucus, but certainly you're going to be able to see some – and you've already seen some legislation being introduced to try and stop the president from what is happening. The problem, of course, is that where you're going to see some divide in the Republican Party is over funding for the Homeland Security Department. And this is where it starts to get a little complicated, because if you try to legislate – some kind of enforcement, let's say, even if it's very harsh enforcement on the current undocumented population, or to bolster the border patrol. Effectively, what you're doing is growing government. So it starts to be a little bit of a tension between the types of Republicans who would like to see the government shrink, who feel like it's already too big, and the ones who want to have more enforcement. And it starts to get even trickier than that about where you can enforce and where you can't. So what I'm expecting is a lot more of the same that happened last year. There was some legislation that was passed. The House actually had a fully ready border security bill that didn't go anywhere. And I expect we'll see more of that. Whether it's going to come to any kind of deal, I tend to doubt it. It's always possible that things would change. But the president has made it very clear, as have Democrats, that there is no comprehensive legislation that's going to go forward that doesn't deal with the undocumented population in some fashion by easing restrictions on them.
Fascinating. Despite all the protests, what I hear in that description is the executive order impact rolling forward. Omar in Oklahoma City. Omar, you're on.
Hey, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Yes. What's your story?
Well, Tom, you know, it's I came to America when I was 10 years old. I spoke no English, and I went to school, graduated. And I couldn't really have a career, a path, a mission in life because I was undocumented. And once I became documented, I joined the military a day after I joined the Navy. I served our great country. And I feel proud to be an American, even though some people may disagree with my definition of being an American. And this is something that is saddening. You have people from all over the world coming to America, and it's sad how we sometimes ask them to come to work our jobs or our hardest jobs, and at the same time we ask them to leave.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Omar, let me ask you: did you get legal status by joining the military? Was that kind of a package deal for you?
No, it was not. I my stepdad was a resident, and through my dad, my mom and I were able to get a green card. When I joined the military, a day after I received my green card, and I was only eligible non-essential jobs, basically supply, being a cook.
Okay.
I worked in supply for 2 years, then I worked as a cop for a Navy Master at Arms for 4. And I'm now pursuing a career in law enforcement, which is, I guess, a ironic predicament here.
And with all of that, do you have a path to citizenship yourself after military service and all the rest, Omar?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
Do you have a path to U.S. citizenship? Is there a way you can get to it?
Yes. No, whenever I was in the military, I actually, the time that I have to wait was waived, and I obtained my citizenship right away.
These are very human stories. You know, jump in, contribute, and in your case, ultimately, it ends with citizenship. Good for you, Omar. I appreciate your call. Greg in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I work in construction here, and the majority of the home builders use illegal immigrants to build their homes.
Okay.
And I don't see them as tax-paying citizens because I see them being paid under the table, being paid cash. And I see long lines at the banks and Western Union where they're sending their money home overseas, south of the border.
So what do you take from that, Greg? What does it suggest to you?
I say if you can't beat them and you're not going to stop them because the builders are going to use them, make them tax-paying citizens, keep the money in our communities, keep it in America, make them part of our culture, have them become good citizens, buy homes, and, you know, help build this economy back, because that's a lot of money. It's not just home building. It's all the services, the golf courses, the resorts. I mean, that could be a real boon to the economy, 5 million new citizens. I mean, I've heard it said in the past that immigration is the fountain. Immigrants are the fountain of youth of America.
Yeah. Greg, what do you say to Katrina's perspective that it's not fair to, you know, to other American citizens to do that?
It's not fair because it undercuts our wages. But how are you going to beat them?
Tom, could I chime in?
Yes, please, Katrina. There's kind of a fact of life Greg's pointing to there, and he says you're not going to change it by yelling.
Well, and Greg is absolutely right, but I do want to point out, I've heard the argument where you make them citizens and they pay taxes, and that's simply not the case because they would still keep them in lower wage positions, and with all of the deductions it would be doing on their taxes, we would be paying them. So that wouldn't even work out when it comes to paying taxes because the home builders and the business community who are fighting so hard, they know and understand that. They want to keep their cheap labor and exploit these people, and that should be a crime. We have not been enforcing the laws on businesses and corporations who hire these people, which put them in really bad positions, and that is a crime, Tom.
To be put in a position where you can be exploited, but Greg sounds pretty level-headed there, and he sees how deeply integrated people are into lots of industries there in Hilton Head, South Carolina. He says they're not going to vanish. So what do you do about it?
Well, and I think he's right. I think what is being discussed that there might be some bipartisan position on is a type of work permit. But I think if you put in the right to sue your employer, I think they'll squash that very quickly. So what we're looking at essentially are the big corporations and home builders who are continuing to try to exploit these people. They want it their way right away so that they continue to make big money off the backs of people who really are truly trying to make a better lives for themselves. That's why I think we have to have the discussion nationally so we can come up with a good way to address the people who are here illegally, not some blanket, you know, one size fits all, because we don't know who's here. We don't know who we're going to be giving rights and privileges to. We don't know how long they've been here. And I think it's a very sloppy process and an illegal process, might I add, that this president has done. And even though we played to the hearts and emotions of the people who are here, it's a tragic situation, but we shouldn't be acting based upon emotion. We should be acting within the rule of law and within the circumstances aligned in the Constitution for Congress to act on this issue. Well, that's all Republicans are saying.
You say this president, but if it's sloppy, I guess it's been sloppy for a long time.
Absolutely.
Fawn, I hear you there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let me get Charlie from Austin, Texas. Charlie's been waiting here. Charlie, you're on.
Tom, thank you for having this fine legislator who's in Phoenix for whatever reason. because she epitomizes the argument from the Tea Party right. And as I've had discussions or arguments with folks like that here in Austin, I've been told in my face when I've given them the actual facts about how the undocumented cheat the system and how it's just the opposite, I've been told in my face, Ponzio, and I won't use the exact cuss word that was used, but is Ponzio God, and then the rest of it goes with that, and then I don't give a God about the God facts. And so I like this woman who's come on. I had no idea, and I'd like to think, because I write opinion columns for the Austin American Statesman from time to time, that I keep up with the subject as much as anybody else, but I just now learned that the Catholic Church funded all the kids that came across in the last 2 years. I had no idea.
You're saying you don't believe it, you don't buy it. Do you think the executive order is as good as we're going to do in this country for now, Charlie, on immigration?
Well, I didn't hear the question because I started to yell out, I don't buy it for a second. I particularly, the only other point I wanted to drive home, Tom, is that when you confronted this woman with the facts to drive my point home, she simply spun them. You said the crossings are at an all-time low, and she couldn't be concerned in the least about what that means and how that factors into the debate.
Charlie, we got you late in the hour. I appreciate your call. That's as far as we're going to be able to take this one today. Talk about an American debate. This has become a very deep and central one. The executive order apparently rolling ahead here in spite of vociferous Republican opposition in many fronts. You heard it today from Katrina Pearson with the Tea Party Leadership Fund. And the other perspective of those with families and lives here who want to keep them here, from Moses Shege in Spokane, Washington, and Grayson Martinez in Austin, Texas. Fawn Johnson with the National Journal, it's been great to have you as well. And listeners, all your input, thanks so much. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.